Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. We've got a very fun episode today. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
First place Giants, baby. Bang, bang, bird gang, escada! Yeah, I got to do it. I mean, what a showing by Carson Wentz last night. Just, man. Dude, clear-cut MVP favorite, in my opinion. So good at football, dude. So good. Best QB in the league.
Wow. It's a shame, honestly, more than anything. Like, I feel bad for the guy. Man was an MVP. He would have been the MVP if he didn't get hurt that season.
Oh, 100%. You're right. And, like, you know, the reason why I don't feel bad is because if there's a player I despise in the NFL, like, I'm sure he's a great dude. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. I really don't like Carson Wentz. So, like, Nick Foles, I respect that guy to the end of the earth. That guy is a winner. That guy did a great job. He just putting all that together, two of the greatest playoff games of all time. Carson Wentz is a loser, but we'll get into that later because we have to talk about the other guys first, if you're catching my drift.
Yeah, so let's start with the Jets. This is something that has been the norm for the past 11 weeks of football.
Oh, like really, really 2 years, but more so 11 weeks.
Yeah, but, oh, God, Adam Gase. So I haven't really spoken too much about Adam Gase these past few weeks because it's been the same old crap that it's been the past 2 years, like you said.
And, oh, yeah, like I said, you know what I said before the show, like we need to get a good old Anthony Evangelista, Evan Gase, Adam Gase trademark rant here, and that's what we're about to get, right?
I think so. Look.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. Let's do this.
I just want to say that last year, before we start about anything, Adam Gase skipped his family Thanksgiving dinner. This is 2019. He skipped his family Thanksgiving dinner to prepare to game plan against the 0-11 Bengals. The Jets lost that game 22-6. So that's just my first little – that doesn't really have anything to do with it, but –
the Bengals winless at that point, or did they
– last year, the Jets lost to the 0-8 Dolphins, I believe it was the time, and the 0-11
okay, that's – they were winless. Oh, you probably already said that. I just wasn't – yeah. All right, whatever. Yeah, okay, continue.
It's insane to think that – so first off, yesterday – there was the Adam Gase presser, which was embarrassing to say the least.
You're not a Jets fan, that's hilarious.
How do you go out there as a head coach and act like a complete buffoon in front of the media?
The New York media at that, like they will tear you to shreds.
Adam Gase lied to the media about the play calling, said that no, he gave it over to Dowell Loggins, but then they were actually splitting it. It was a complete mess, to say.
Well, he changed up his story like 3 or 4 times, and that was what was really like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, like I don't understand how he still has a job. I mean, you have.
I think we both understand why.
Oh, 100%. But I think at this point it doesn't even matter. Bill O'Brien is fired. Matt Patricia is fired. Dan Quinn is fired, and Adam Gase still has a job.
Tell you why Adam Gase still has a job. It's because Atlanta's kind of picked it up ever since Quinn's been gone. Houston's picked it up since O'Brien's been gone. We don't know what the deal is with Patricia and Detroit and how they're going to play these last couple of weeks. But, I mean, getting rid of him could be a franchise-altering bad decision because the Jaguars are still right on their tails in the tank bowl.
That's what I was going to say. I was really hoping.
The Jets need to keep losing as long as the Jaguars do.
I was really hoping that the Jaguars pulled away this weekend, and they were pretty close. I mean,
been pretty close a couple. Didn't they? They almost beat the Packers as well.
Like the Jaguars aren't a horrible team. I mean, obviously,
the Jaguars aren't a 1-10 team. The Jaguars are more of like they should have like 3 wins. But
I think so too. And I hate the Browns too. So I was I was rooting for the Jaguars a lot. So it was kind of unfortunate to see the end of that game.
The Browns might be kind of fibs. They might be the imposter.
We'll get into that as playoff time comes along because they'll most likely be in a wild card slot. But
and the Giants and Jets both have to play the Browns, so we will have to talk about the Browns.
Yes, that's true. I think that if the Jaguars won this past weekend, that Adam Gase should have been fired right away. Because there's no shot in hell that the Jets are going to win two games this season, regardless of anything going on. And I believe that they do win the tiebreaker against the Jaguars for some reason, where even if they have the same record, they're going to have the first pick.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how you kept Adam Gase this long in the first place. Like, Christopher Johnson, Woody Johnson, what are you doing? What's going on? You could have fired Johnson, him.
He's still the ambassador, right?
So yeah. So Woody Johnson's not even completely involved at this point.
Yeah. Chris is the one that hired Adam Gase as well, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's insane to think that he wasn't fired week two, week three. You saw the commotion that was happening in the locker room. You saw the problems that were happening at the time. All the players that were unhappy and clearly not wanting to play for their team, as you saw with the Jamal Adams situation, the Le'Veon Bell situation, and everybody else. I don't get it. And, like, obviously, I think they have a lot more faith in Adam Gase than I do. Like, yesterday, Sam Darnold came out and said, yeah, I still have faith in Adam Gase. That's BS. I don't believe it.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, he's brainwashed. Poor guy.
I feel bad for Sam Darnold because I know what's going to happen is that the Jets are most likely going to get the first pick, and then they're going to get Trevor Lawrence, trade Sam Darnold for a third-round pick to some random team. And he's either going to
back up probably.
He'll back up for a few games, get in, and have a Tannehill type year. Well, he'll be able to bring a team to the playoffs. 100%.
I hope so, honestly, because I just feel for the way you feel for Wentz, I feel for Darnold. Like, it just, I'm sure you feel the same way for Darnold as well. Just like he's been put in such a.
I have so much respect for Darnold for coming out and saying I still have like faith in my head coach.
Well, he has to. He can't not say that. Like, you're right. He has to do that.
But, like, this guy can play, and he'll prove that for another team. 100%. And, you know, if that means that the Jets get Trevor Lawrence and he's playing well on the Panthers or the Saints or whatever team he's going to be on, good for him. I wish him the complete best in his career. He's not getting anywhere with Adam Gase at the helm. And I think that there's no way in hell that he's a Jet next year unless some miracle happens at the end of the season. Because,
yeah,
look, if the Jets decide that they want to win their next four games.
There are five left, right?
Is there five? No.
Well, yeah, it is five. They're 0-11. Five.
You're right. Look, I feel bad for Darnold. I think that this all falls on Gase. I think that he should have been fired by week four. And maybe, like, look, the Jets weren't a playoff team going into this year. I thought that they would be somewhat competitive in some games.
I mean, yeah, like, I remember I said 6-10, which is now officially out the window, and I genuinely thought that. And you said 7-9, which has been out the window, and I'm sure you definitely believe that as well. Like,
yeah, no, I think the Jets could go 7-9 this year.
Oh, for
100%.
Sure. Oh, no. Yeah, they can win seven of their last five games, absolutely, especially going up against the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Rams.
Look, if the Jets win one game and it's against the Browns, I will be happy. I will be.
Or the Patriots. You can't not if they end up going 1-15 by beating New England, like, we can, like, do a little rah rah for that
in the last game of the season. Look, I just don't want them to go 0-16. I think that you need to have one win on the season.
Yeah, you do, because you don't want to be up there with like the 0-8 Lions or like the 18. No. You just don't want to be in that club. You just don't.
Look, I think that this Jets team is completely at fault by Adam Gase. I think Joe Douglas is kind of brainwashed by the Johnsons in the sense that he's trusting him. Which
I was going to ask, actually, what's the relationship like between Douglas and Gase at this point? Like, I haven't seen much on that.
Look, there's no indications that it's bad. There's no indications that there's something wrong between the two of them. I think that Gase is absolutely destroying Douglas's job right now, where there's a chance that Douglas gets fired for something that he shouldn't have to be fired for. Because, you know, Douglas isn't an incredible GM. But from what we've seen from him, he's done very solid things. He's been much better than Maccagnan.
He did a pretty good job with the Jamal Adams situation.
100%. Like, I think that the only thing that he could have improved upon was the whole Le'Veon Bell situation. But that's not his fault entirely. I think that the way that he handled Jamal Adams.
His hands were tied there.
Exactly. Yeah. The way that he was able to flip cap-heavy players that deserve to play for a better team like Avery Williamson or Steve McClendon. The fact that they were able to get like fourth, fifth round picks for them with bigger contracts, I'm completely okay with, because you know what? That allows them to spend a little more in free agency. They have draft picks. I like Joe Douglas. I think that he's being pushed in the wrong direction by the ownership. And it's not fair to say, oh, Douglas is terrible. Douglas is not a good GM, when he's not the one responsible for everything. And you know what? Yeah, no, he definitely has some sort of responsibility. I'm not completely like... Yeah,
when you're 0-11, it's everyone's fault. It's 100%. The players. It's Gase. It's William. Like, it's there. Or Douglas, excuse me. It's like, they're all just...
I believe that the people responsible, most responsible for this...
It's Gase by far.
It's Gase and the Johnsons.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can't not blame the Johnsons. And you can't not, because A, like, they made those hires.
They could have fired.
Because they've been media, they've been average at best, like a little bit below average even. They haven't had a winning season in 10 years. So yes, the blame goes on to the owners for that, because there's been multiple regimes and all this and all that. And like, yeah, but I you're right. Like, it's on Gase mostly.
Look, I have obviously no hope in the Jets for a very long time. I'm hoping for some sort of glimmer of hope this offseason. Maybe something good happens to the Jets. If we're able to get Trevor Lawrence, look, because my friend Alex sent me this interview that a guy on ESPN was doing, where he pretty much made it very clear that he has faith in the Jets because of their possible potential options. Because you know what? Look, I believe that Mekhi Becton is an extremely talented tackle.
He might have been the best, and I'm from the Giants, who also picked a tackle. Like, I wouldn't have picked Becton at 4. Like, I don't think that would have been, like, that wouldn't have been the move. But, like, he could very well end up being the best tackle in this draft. It seems that way so far. Like, he's having the best rookie year out of all the offensive linemen. He's better than Wirfs. He's better than Thomas. So, like, so far. I mean, Andrew Thomas has picked it up lately. But, like, then again, so is the whole Giants offensive line. But I have a fun Jets game for you here. Yeah. So, obviously, Adam Gase is not going to be around next year. I don't think that's much of a question.
Look, even if the Johnsons are absolutely in love with Adam Gase, they need to get rid of him in order to have revenue for the team. Because you know what? Nobody's going to want to watch this Jets team with him at the helm. And nobody's going to come to the Jets if he's at the helm. The only person that has directly said, I came to the Jets for Adam Gase, was Frank Gore. Which, it's Frank Gore. What are you going to do? Okay. What were you saying?
Okay. So, hire or no, that's this little thing that I came up with. I actually didn't tell you about this. This is a first one. This is a fun one. Jim Harbaugh.
No, absolutely not. I think that Jim Harbaugh is, ever since he left the NFL to go to Michigan, it's just gone downhill from there. And you've seen that over the past few months, pretty much. I mean, this season, he's been absolutely horrendous as a coach. And, you know, I just don't think he's a solid enough leader anymore. Where I like John Harbaugh, I think that they're both John and Jim are solid minds for coaching, but I think Jim's past his prime. I don't think that he'd be a solid fit with the Jets, and I don't think he's good for the development of quarterbacks. He's more a win-now type of coach, and that's not going to work. It's
okay.
Yeah.
I it's an interesting thought, because, like, I was listening to – I found myself – I listened to the Boomer and Geo, and yeah. – They did something similar to this. All right, here's my second one. Josh McDaniels.
See, I feel like, I don't know, I wouldn't be mad with that hire, but I definitely wouldn't be, like, overly excited with it. I don't.
Because he's been flirting with becoming a head coach for years.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had that deal with the Colts that he was their next head coach, and then all of a sudden he was like, nope, never mind, which ended up working better for the Colts in the long run. But I just don't see him being the helm of a team. I think he's an extremely solid coordinator. I think that – and that's where he should stay. I think that him as an offensive coordinator is much more efficient for a team than him as a head coach altogether. Okay. I don't think he has what it takes to run a team.
Okay. Next one, Jack Del Rio. He is, I think, Washington's defensive coordinator right now. He's the Raiders head coach. I know you know who he is, but I'm just – refreshing everyone on what his position is currently.
See, Jack Del Rio, he's like 60, right? He coached the Jaguars through their whole terrible reign. I think he was the coach from like 2003 to 2012 or something like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, he doesn't have any experience head coaching. Obviously, like 8-9 years is a very long run, but I don't know. I wouldn't be extremely upset with that. I think that he's more mediocre rather than anything. He did take the Jaguars to the postseason a few times, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say, like, it's not my favorite pick. It could work because he's good. I think he's decent with developing players, and he has been. No, he was with the Raiders, like, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I say that is because I thought it'd be a good choice because of a potential choice due to his – The Washington defense has been really good, especially recently.
Oh, wow.
And just his head coaching experience.
But. See, it's kind of similar to the McDaniels pick. I think that it could work, but I just don't think that it's the best choice.
I mean, I think that the way the Jets are now, they have to do a boomer. It's like a boomer bust kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Here's another. I think you're going to say yes to this one, actually. Greg Roman.
That's an interesting pick. I like that, actually. That's not a terrible option.
I thought you'd say yes to that one.
Because he's the Ravens
offensive. He's the Ravens offensive coordinator, yes.
That's not a bad option. I mean, he's decently – he's not, like, young, but he's, like, 40s, 50s, right?
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have any other head coaching experience of my knowledge, but I think that could work. I mean, I'd much rather have –
the one that kind of developed that whole – Lamar offense, obviously it's not working this year, but like last year he kind of revolutionized that.
So. Look, I think that if there's anybody, he has a vision, and right. That's what I like to see in a coach. I think that would be – I wouldn't say that he's an incredible pick just because of his lack of coaching experience, but I think that has a lot of potential, and I think that could work if given the right assets with – I think could happen in free agency.
Okay, I got a couple more for you here. This next one, I would not want you to. I would not want you guys to have him, just because he's doing a good job. But Patrick Graham, Giants defensive coordinator.
It wouldn't be a terrible option.
I mean, he's taken. Here's my, because I was just hearing stuff. He's an assistant coach and defensive coordinator, so he's like he's judged his right hand man. And he took what looked to be one of the worst defensive defenses on paper going into the season, and his scheme works. He lets his playmakers make plays. Well, I'm going to get into this a little later, actually, but I think that he's done a good job. So would that be a yay or nay?
Wasn't he also the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins last year, though? I think that he was.
I don't know that.
I'm pretty sure that
he was. Yeah, he was. You're right, yeah.
So I think that in terms of experience, I – don't like this pick for that. I think that I just don't know enough about him to like kind of give him an exact grade per se, but I don't know. I think that this Giants defense has performed very much better than they were expecting.
They definitely overperformed. That's why it's like, oh, it's got, he's definitely a part of it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I would say maybe like one or two more years before he's able to like get a real head coaching job. So I'm going to say no for this one.
Okay, here's the last one, and this one's super polarizing. And here's why I would say yes if I were a Jets fan, because it's like it's kind of like a click boom move. I don't even know if he's going to be available. Actually, I have two more. Actually, I just thought of another one. So the first one is Mike McCarthy.
No.
No.
I didn't.
No explanation. That's just no.
Look, I didn't want him when he was first available with the Jets, and obviously they got a much worse choice than him, regardless. I think that Mike McCarthy is mediocre. And obviously, he had an incredible career with the Packers. He had a very good run with
them. Won a Super Bowl, yeah.
I don't want him as the head coach of the Jets. There's no other way to put it. I don't think that he's fit to run a team the way that he was 10 years ago.
Okay. And here's the last one. And this one I just came up with. This one wasn't even on my list. I just thought about it with McCarthy. Doug Peterson.
That's actually a good question. In the event that he's available,
he should get an interview. I mean, he's been bad this year, but then again, so is Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen what he can do I just don't know if that's – see, I feel like he'd be a good addition to the Jets coaching staff, whether that be as a coordinator or an assistant coach or whatever. I don't know if having him as a head coach right away would be a great option for a rebuilding team.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. Okay, so that's really all the Jets. That's all the head coaches I had. Like, another one that just shot into my mind just because he was fired this weekend is Patricia, but he's not going to get another head coaching job. He'll be a defensive coordinator somewhere, I'm sure, but –
yeah, he'll get a job somewhere. It's just it's not going to be as a head coach again. He lost that opportunity.
I don't know. You're right about that. Okay, I mean, unless you have any other Jets stuff to add, that's the end of my little game.
I mean, look, as a Jet fan, I'm just hoping for every waking day to wake up to a Twitter notification that Adam Gase has been fired.
Dude, no, but you can't. You can't do that. You know, because you have to have the worst record in the league. You absolutely have to have the worst record in the league.
I know. I just want to
see. And, like, as much of an unlikable guy as Gase is, there's no way he's around next year.
I want to see Greg Williams as the interim head coach for at least one game.
Oh, did I have Greg Williams on my list?
You did not. I don't know.
All right, Greg Williams then.
See, I feel like he wouldn't be a terrible option. I think that he should have been the Browns head coach a few years back when they had the choice and then they picked Freddie Kitchens over him. But I don't know. I mean, he's very disliked for many reasons, but I think he's a solid coach. I think that he has done the best of what he can with the Jets defense, and you saw that in the last game. I mean, I don't know if you watched it, but the Jets defense actually played really well against the Dolphins team that has been trending up recently. The offense can't get anything going, but the defense actually didn't play terrible, and with the limited like talent that we have on that team, we've been able to see some like kind of people come out of the bottom and shine, which wasn't really expected. But I think that if the Jets were to say Greg Williams is the head coach, I wouldn't be upset with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the way I see it. It has to be like I said, it's got to be like a click boom kind of thing. Like the Jets need a guy that's gonna like spark them. Like that's why I thought Harbaugh might have been an interesting one. Like that's the kind of like he gets the best out of his players, or at least he did with the Niners. And like, obviously Michigan's having a terrible season. They can never beat Ohio State. They've lost to Michigan State a couple of times under him, but like, I don't know. It's just an interesting, like, oh, like that could be a boom or bust kind of thing. And I feel like that's what they need. So we'll see, but yeah. Interesting. Do you have anything to add? Or cause that's really all I have about the Jets right now.
That's it for me. Well, let's move across town, even though you don't really go too far. Let's move across locker room.
Let's move across the field to the other locker room.
There you go. Yeah. New York Giants, first place. How does that make you feel?
I need to get myself back into that mentality, because talking about the Jets just now is a little bit depressing. I'm not even going to lie.
100%.
It's super exciting, man. Like, right now – okay, here's the first thing, because you know when I talk about the Giants, I tend to get all over the place. So let's focus on Daniel Jones first, okay? His health will hinge upon our entire season. If he is healthy, and I'm not saying he has to play against Seattle next week, because it might not be worth it, right? It might not be worth it. But his healthiness over the course of this home stretch in the last quarter mile of the season, that's what will hinge upon how the Giants – if he's healthy and, like, not – like, what I mean, like, if not if he's just, like, playing. If he's healthy, healthy and playing, then the Giants have probably the best chance of winning the NFC East at this point.
I agree.
With the Eagles' loss, they're in shambles. I mean – Dallas is really bad. They have an easy schedule, so I'm not counting anyone out yet. I think that the worst team in the division this year is Dallas, because they have shown all their holes without Dak Prescott, who, by the way, is an incredible player, and now he'll finally get the credit for that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was high on Dallas heading into the season, and obviously they've disappointed, but I didn't realize how bad their defense was going to be, and obviously how could you predict – a career-altering injury, unfortunately. But
here's up.
The Eagles are regressing in literally every way they're regressing, yeah. Which I'm not surprised about. That I saw coming. The writing's been on the wall. The last 2 years, they've lucked into a playoff spot by beating bad teams down the stretch because Carson Wentz is like 7-30 versus teams over 500 in his career, and everyone praised him like he was Ginger Jesus. And that guy just stinks at football, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's that. Washington's defense is I'm not counting out Washington. Their offense is not very good other than Terry McLaurin. God bless Alex Smith, comeback player of the year for sure. But, like, he's not – like, Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than him at this point. He's more versatile. All the Redskins – or, excuse me, all of Washington's offense has been, like, dink and dunk, like, just –
Look, I think that
Washington, the ball, Gibson's good, but like I don't know, like they're I think the Giants have a better offense than Washington when fully loaded, and because they have a better offensive line, they have a better quarterback. Other than McLaurin, the Giants have a deeper receiving core, and I think that as good as Gibson is, the Giants triple threat when healthy in Gallman, Freeman, and Gibson could match that. And obviously the Giants don't have their offensive playmaker for the rest of the year in Saquon Barkley. Look, so Washington is honestly the Giants' biggest threat, even though the Giants beat them twice. But
I think
no one's out of it. So like I'm really happy and I'm satisfied, but it's not over. It's far from over.
Washington has an insane amount of potential for the future. I think that if they continue to trend upwards and they're able to find a solid quarterback, they'll be in the top of the AFC East, NFC East in probably 2-3 years, depending on if they're able to get that. But
I don't know if they're like good enough to like, I don't know. Like they have pieces, but like a lot of their defense is like, their defense is really good this year. Don't get me wrong. But the one thing I like about the Giants defense better, and obviously this is biased, the Giants have more playmakers in my opinion, and in the secondary, at least for sure. And they have a younger team. That's my thing about the Giants.
If Washington's able to fill the holes that they have on their team right now, they will be 10-6, 11-5 in the next few years. I think that that's obviously not possible right now, but I think
the gaping hole is a franchise quarterback. Like Alex Smith, like as good as he's been stepping into that role, he's not a franchise quarterback anymore.
No.
You know, like, and Washington has this tendency to come out of the bushes every 3 or 4 years, have a good team with a bunch of potential, and then just stink.
Look, Alex Smith is a great bridge quarterback, but he's not someone that you want to be led to the playoffs by. If he's able to lead this Washington football team to the playoffs, that's an insane story. But I don't think that it's – I mean, look, it's obviously possible. They have the same record as the Giants, right?
They do. But the Giants, like I said, beat them twice. Really, the Giants have to tie with Washington has to get one more win than the Giants.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Really, really helps the Giants. And the Eagles, the Giants have to win more games than the Eagles because of that stupid tie. And Dallas, the Giants, as long as they beat Dallas at the end of the season and have the same record, then the Giants will have the tiebreaker. But
look, here's my take on the NFC.
Yeah, if the Giants have the same record,
My take on the NFC East, I think that the Giants have the best opportunity as of right now. Washington is second in this race, where if the Giants decide to fall apart, they're next up. I think that the Cowboys were absolutely doomed from the start as soon as Dak got injured. And the Eagles, if they continue deteriorating, there's no shot that they make the playoffs for the next 2-3 years.
I mean, the Eagles right now, they're like on a down – like they're trending. It's a downward spiral, man. And, like, I really hate the Philadelphia Eagles, and I've made that no secret on this show. Like, that is one of a very known fact. But, like, in all seriousness, like, the writing's been on the wall for years, so I don't know why everyone's so surprised. Like, I really don't know why everyone's acting all shocked that the Eagles stink. Because I don't know how you didn't know that already. That's all I'm saying. But – yeah, like, Washington's got a solid team. The Giants beating them twice helps them in so many ways. The one game that the Giants need to win is the Dallas game, and I've been saying that for weeks. They have to win in Week 17, or else, because then Dallas will have the tiebreaker over them. Plus, that's another divisional win, and that's a winnable game, most of all. So, really the Giants, like I've also been saying this for weeks, because I'm going to sound like I'm going to sound like a tape recorder here. They have to find a way to win one of these next four. At least they need to find a way to win one of these next four and then beat Dallas. And you're in at 6-10. That'll be enough. I think as pathetic as that is, that's enough.
I think that the winner of the NFC East is either going to be 7-9. I think that they could be 7-9.
They could be, because I mean the Giants in Washington. Oh my goodness, that's the second time I made that mistake. The Giants in Washington have been like playing well.
Yeah.
So, and because of that, they're going to be the teams that are trending upward. The Giants have won 3 straight, and Washington's won 2 straight. And then they both have tough schedules, though. So it's going to be who wins more of those tough games. Washington has 2 more divisional games against Dallas and Philly, but the Giants will have that tiebreaker because they beat Washington twice, as long as they beat Dallas in Week 17, which will also give them the tiebreaker over Dallas. So one thing the Giants fans need to bank on, the Eagles need to keep sucking. I will never count out the Eagles because of the immense BS that they've pulled out of themselves in the last 3-4 weeks of the season, both in 2018 and 2019 last year, just completely mediocre teams. And then they got even more lucky with that Cody Parkey kick. Like, there's no way they should have won that game in Chicago 2 years ago, but I digress. Like, the Eagles there's a chance, a legitimate chance, that the Eagles don't win another one of their games. Yeah. There's a legitimate chance that they do. I don't think that'll happen. I think the Eagles will end up with probably 5 wins, which is why 6 is the number for the Giants. Right now, 6 should be the magic number for the Giants, because they need to get as many wins as Washington, and they have to beat Dallas. So, I'd say Washington's the biggest threat right now, but I don't really have that much of a gauge on Dallas. Like, they kind of just – like they beat Minnesota. If they lost to Minnesota, this would all be so easy right now, because they'd be just out of the race.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. I think that this is the Giants' race to lose. That's all I'm gonna say.
It is at this point. It is, but last week it was going into last Sunday, like 10 days ago, it was still the Eagles' race to lose. So like it's been changing. You know what I mean? Like And nothing is set in stone. It's December 1st when we're recording this, and the Giants are in first place. And that's great, because that's the place you want to be on December 1st. That's the place you want to be the whole season. But you're right. The pressure is on there. And the thing about being in first right now is that, like, they've won 3 straight and they're in first. It's not like they're stumbling across. Like, they took first place because they've been playing good football. It's not because they like stumbled across it. Like, say what you want about the NFC East, the Giants have been playing good football.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The Giants have been playing solid football these past few weeks that I really didn't expect to see out of them, which is obviously a very solid point for you guys, like in terms of future and for this year. The fact that the Giants are actually in play for the playoffs this year is wild to me. Like,
yeah,
it's not deserved.
I mean, you're right, it's not. And the way they've, like, I like to see the way the culture's clearly changed in that locker room. These guys, they play for each other. They're playing for each other. You got to play for your head coach. They're playing for their head coach. Joe Judge has done a good job keeping his guys ready, getting them prepared. And like I said earlier, if Daniel Jones is healthy, it's the Giants' race to lose. If he continues to miss games and miss time, which let's just pray he doesn't, then it's Washington's to lose. Because if the Giants don't have their starting quarterback, Washington, like, they started with Haskins, and then they had Allen in there for a while. Well, now it's Alex Smith, but they didn't have, like, their solid guy. Like, it doesn't matter. Those guys are really all the same. Like, they're all, like, average at best in their best points of their career.
Yeah.
And, like, the Giants have a clear cut coming out of the woods, like, franchise quarterback in the making here, who was on pace to have his best game of the season, and he pulls his hamstring. So let's just hope it's just a pull. We saw news that it was not major, and that it shouldn't hold him out for too long, and that obviously he's not ruled out for Sunday. I'm curious to see who plays quarterback for the Giants on Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be McCoy yet. I don't know if they sign. I don't know if they sign a Josh Rosen. Like,
oh yeah, that's weird. I don't think so. I think that they go with Colt McCoy just because. Like,
I think they go with Colt McCoy too.
Like, I don't think that they'll definitely sign or bring up someone from the practice squad for backup, but I don't think that they go with anyone other than Colt McCoy if Jones isn't able to play.
I saw, like, someone – because this happens every time a quarterback goes down. I saw a Kaepernick article, and I was like, that's just unrealistic.
The Giants wouldn't sign Kaepernick. The Mariners wouldn't sign Kaepernick, I don't think.
No, like – well, obviously, because no one signed Kaepernick. So, like, yeah, the Mariners definitely aren't. And, like, it just wouldn't make sense to, like, pull him into an offense. Like, the first time I saw it was, like, went with the Broncos. Like, yeah, give him 16 hours to learn an offense. That just doesn't make any sense. Like,
I mean, who the Broncos signed, though. They signed – Shermer's son.
Oh, well, Shermer's their offensive coordinator, so I'm not
exactly. Saying
that. Yikes. What a situation the Broncos got in. That's a ew moment. And, like, dude, week 12 isn't even over yet because we still have to watch a Wednesday night afternoon game that probably is going to get – like, hopefully it doesn't get pushed back again, but I wouldn't be surprised the way this season is going. And the way the NFL's handled it to this point, that game was supposed to be on Thanksgiving, so.
Yeah, now it's – literally almost a week later. It's 6 days later, and they still aren't really sure if they're going to play.
Hold on. Speak of the devil. I just opened up Twitter. The Ravens have activated Brandon Williams, Tavon Young, Khalil Dorsey, and Trace McSorley off the COVID-19 list. If Trace McSorley starts tomorrow afternoon's game, people are going to lose their minds.
The world will just shut down.
Oh, my goodness. That would be so funny. Oh my gosh, if he ends the Steelers' perfect season.
That would be pretty funny.
If it's Trace McSorley,
I think that they'd end up probably starting RG3. I don't think that they'd
RG3 is on the COVID. Is RG3 not on the COVID
no,
list?
I don't think so.
Oh, never
mind. Lamar.
All right, well, in that case, there goes my dreams. But you're right, it's going to be RG3. But I hope he gets a snap. I mean, that would be something.
Look, I think RG3 deserves another shot, but at the same time, it would be really cool to see Trace McSorley.
Yeah. I mean, that's just – you're right, but it's going to – you're right. It's going to be RG3. I didn't realize RG3 was going to be the starter. That's my fault.
No, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that game. That's all real interesting. But to put a bow on the Giants, they've got Seattle coming up this week. Probably going to be Colt McCoy. That's probably a loss, but at the same time, Washington's playing Pittsburgh. They haven't lost yet this year. Philly is playing Green Bay. That better not be a trap game. Green Bay better be – the Packers better win that game.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys are playing the Ravens, and the Cowboys are a mess, as we saw on Thanksgiving every year. But – yeah, we'll see what happens. I feel like I could honestly – I think it's safe to say that I think all the NFC teams – all the NFC East teams will lose next week, I think. Like, yeah. That'd be a fair prediction.
Yeah.
But like I said, if the Giants – they need to win at least one. If they lose all four of these, they're not gonna make the playoffs. They need to beat the Seahawks or the Cardinals or the Browns or the Ravens. Those are looking more winnable now than they were 3 weeks ago before they won three in a row, before the Cardinals stumbled a little bit, before the Browns. I mean, the Browns are 8-3 and they've won a bunch of games in a row, but like, I don't think they're an 8-3 team, like talent wise or like analytics wise or whatever it is. And then the Ravens are the Ravens right now. The Ravens are a wild card. So this is the Giants' toughest game left. So especially because they don't have Daniel Jones. So if they can pull off an upset in the clink and if the Giants win next weekend, regardless of a Washington win, if Washington somehow beats Pittsburgh or if Philly wins, if the Giants win on Sunday, I will feel super, super confident. But then again, you never know. There's 5 weeks left. It's going to be close. It's going to be close. And it will come down to week 17. I thoroughly believe that.
Me too. So all right. Well, that just about wraps up our Giants segment. Before we go, we just kind of want to announce something that we've had in the works for a while, and it's still kind of in the works, but we should be able to have it out by, hopefully, by next episode. So, Big Apple Sports Media here. We are planning on setting up One, our website. Our website contains just a blog and some other cool things that are still being worked on.
If you think our voices are annoying, you can just read what we have to say about the Giants and Jets and the Yankees and Mets every week and like other stuff too. So like the plan is that eventually we'll be able to have people other than just Anthony and I blogging on that site. But for to start, it's going to be just us. We're going to do a little test trial, see how it is. See, take our dip our feet into that tank right there, and hopefully.
And if you're interested in writing or blogging or anything, or if you want to just have some sort of part in it, feel free to either DM the Big Apple Sports Media account or text me or Kyle if you have our numbers, because we're open to whoever really wants to have anything on there. We're open to find new writers and stuff like that.
Yeah, just let us know. We want to expand this, and we want anyone who wants to get on the ride early, they should hop on now, because 100%. We're excited for this.
Number two, we are also launching our YouTube. This is kind of pretty similar to what we've already been doing, where it's just instead of only posting it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, we're also putting it on YouTube where you guys can see our faces while we talk, which it's just pretty much to expand a little bit more.
It's just another way that you guys can watch or listen to the show, because obviously, I don't know, some people might find it more interesting, or if you guys have a crush on us and you want to see us.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of those. And then number three, we are also launching our TikTok. That's going to be something a little different. We'll probably make a bunch of stupid, funny videos as well as informative, whatever. I'll probably have my fantasy segments and stuff like that, even though the season's almost done.
But yeah, we're gonna have some fun with that. Okay. We're gonna unleash our creative side. So that should be exciting.
So we'll have all those up hopefully by next episode, which will be next week. We'll have all the information with that. It's most likely gonna be the same usernames, that kind of thing. But we'll have more info on that for the next time. So why don't you go ahead and plug your socials, Kyle?
As always, at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter. The L is a one. That's Kyle on E Keegan. If you want to follow our page, it's at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. And hopefully soon to be Big Apple Sports Media on YouTube and TikTok, like we said. And yeah, now you.
I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. That's about it. Thank you guys for listening. Episode 21 is a wrap. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.